Hello friends, we are learning this subject of customer-centric organization. We are on chapter 8, outside in communication. Overall, you have understood the concept of outside in, which is making organizations customer-centric, keeping customers in focus and then doing everything internally. This chapter dwells upon communication. While you work on communication, what should be your outside in approach? So we will see how align customers' communication need and habits. So how do you, earlier it was not that you were not doing it, but now in an outside in, how do you align communications, you know, with the customers, keeping their needs and habits? When does the communication matter with that, you know, customer determine a role in marketing strategy? What role communication now going to play in an outside in organization, and more about sales in outside in marketing strategies, etc. So this is what our objective for this chapter. After going through this chapter, means you should get at the end customers communication pattern, you know, how does customers communication pattern in your, this thing has to be aligned. So that part, communicate about customer benefit. How can you communicate benefit to the customer? A vendor report card, that's a concept. More communication challenges, so we'll see more challenges in the communication field, all about customers, advertising and the brand. So with this set of objectives, we enter into this subject. What it tries to tell you essentially that always regular interaction with the customer helps. It builds the awareness, the brand saliency, the trust and the loyalty. If your customer believes that you are communicating with them openly, so the way you do your interaction and then the transparency and the belief in your communication will build relationship. The customer communications matters. People's expectations and demand of customer service continuously changing, increasing, expectations are building. So how can a company, keeping that change in mind, communicate with the customers that what all they have done to service them better and satisfy them? Effective communication is critical, critically important to organizations, which is why they use a variety of promotional tools. The communication is a very significant part. When we enter in this, you have to accept this. And therefore, today, entire promotion mix, there are various promotional tools that we have understood today. Digital age is opening different challenges. They may offer you many platforms, social media and professional platforms like LinkedIn, but there are many challenges. So this is what is, again, aspect that one need to keep in mind while we get more into the subject. To get the messages through, and in order to ensure that your message reaches your target audience. Now, in the traditional media, when you say like print and a broadcast, cinema, radio, that was the media that people were using. Today, you have digital media. Okay, internet is changing the way one can communicate, keep the consumer engaged, etc. Now, earlier, only brand used to talk. Now, the talking is also in the hand of potential customers. So now, others can also talk with the brand, which also encompasses employees, etc. So, how the change is becoming, various stakeholders are getting aligned, you know, inclusiveness of communication, various stakeholders in your communication was evident from that point. So align customers' communication needs and habits and outside in communication. So that is what we have started with that first point, so to say, when we started understanding what is outside in communication. So here what you see is a traditional promotion mix, advertising, sales promotion, direct marketing, public relation and personal selling. Very traditional. Today's promotion mix has changed. What it tries to tell you, designed to inform potential customers, designed and to motivate them to purchase. So this is all the tools are used to motivate, excite them, inside, you know, create a motive, the reason to buy you. So with that in mind, each elements of your communication strategy, therefore, be it advertising, be it promotion, be it your public relation initiatives, etc., should be aligned with and support competitive positioning statement that is unique to your business. So what you do now, keeping your customer in mind, now customer is a competitive frame of reference. Not only your brand is in his mind, others are there. So when you do this, always keep the competitive frame of reference that customer has and then communicate. For your business, including one-to-one to succeed, you need to advertise and promote your product or service to the same buyer that your competitors are targeting. Why that competitive frame of reference, which was mentioned in the earlier point? Because he's the same person whom other competitions are also trying to attract. Public relations, for example, most people do say that, you know, even I today say that public relations doesn't, you know, really contribute well in marketing, but well thought out public relation, okay, is the definite way to raise the image. You are not necessarily going and telling buy me, but you are making your brand image or breaking the corporate image at a higher level. You are taking it at a level above, and that rub off, you say, is available to the brand and the product. PR is similar to the promotion advertising, but can be more indirect. PR always acts as an indirect way to create some synergy, some belief in the brand. Okay, since some of and all of the publicity company product and service received from public relation activity may not be by the company. So many time, something which is, say like the blogger writes for you. So that is not something that a company has done. Some newspaper create a product specific review in which your brand is covered also besides other brand, etc. So that's okay. One, that's just a point that one need to know, that every time public relation need not be the driven by the company. Simply put, understanding how your customers view your brand and your communication reduces your margin of error. So public relations smoothens, builds higher order awareness and image orientation. And then if that is achieved, your margin of error in subsequent communication or parallel communication will be lower, because company people will be able to see you through as you are expecting them to. I'll make an effort to explain you this graph very clearly. Here is a customer in his mind, not only your brand, but other brands are there. Now you see the this one, the top line is showing you inside out approach to communication. This line shows you outside in approach, keeping the customer in the center. Now when you follow inside out approach, which is a traditional approach, how does the whole thing go by? There is a corporate plan which has been prepared, you know, to achieve certain things. That plan is reflected in the marketing strategy. Marketing strategy, when developed to achieve the corporate plan, the mix, product marketing mix are developed accordingly. And based on that, to achieve certain marketing objective, the communication is done. Now, this objective based marketing communication is delivered to the target customer. Now, you have not kept the customer in the center, you have kept the corporate plan in the center. While in the outside in approach, it's the customer who is kept in the center. They are understood, which will enable you to form your objective to align with them. Now, to do that, what all you will have to do will have to be considered in terms of communications, in terms of mix, in terms of your strategy, and then you dwell upon. So then you develop your communication. So brand positioning and communication are based on target audience needs and motivation. So that's what is the outside in communication. So if you understood that earlier framework, it is very clear. When your brand positioning and communications are based on your target audience's need and in motivation, you can be confident, you can be very sure that your communication will find a meaning. It will create that solution orientation in the mind of the consumer. So therefore, the pull will come. Additionally, awareness, persuasion, a new goal such as, you know, developing an understanding and preferences towards your product and the brand, etc. Reminder, besides that, reassurance, reinforcement, okay, all are recognized as an important aspect of communication. Many times communication is to achieve them. Direct marketing today is again coming alive with the digital world, where the concept is known as a direct response advertising or direct response communication, but it has heralded a new area where two-way communication has now become possible. And in the digital world, you how much you are engaged with the brand, you come to know. So entire communication shifting from mass to a personal side, even personalization is becoming very important. That's a subject in itself. Exploring customer product and the service need. Once you try to do those things, you understand the reaction to both your increase your effectiveness and saves money. Now, once you do things which is after understanding the needs and wants, what you align with that, you know, it will be surely you will be effective, you will be able to save money because you will not have to go to them repeatedly. They will then get related with you and become loyal to you. The payoff for the client, so that is you as an organization, for doing this outside in communication effectively is a significant cost saving, and quantified measurement of result is available. Two-way, you are able to quantify because these are related customers, you are able to find how much is he buying from you, what frequency, etc. Product development, in that area also, in an earlier days, the basic understanding about consumer need used to be coming there, but lot of time was self-invested without going to the customer. Now what you do is, in an outside-in perspective, at a various stages of your product development, through various product clinics and other methodologies, you get the customer valuable feedback, and therefore what you refine and offer to them are surely going to be valuable to them. They will see the perceived value higher, and therefore you are able to recover your value also. So in this section now, we'll be looking at planning effective marketing support programs. So that's also overall comes under the communications. So you need to determine who's your target customer is. Target group or target audience is very critical, because you will exactly know their demography, you will exactly know their lifestyles. You can many other aspects, their behavioral approach to buying, etc., their consideration for the brand, the premiumness of the brand, etc. This will enable you to construct your entire promotion mix appropriately. Determine what is the meaningfully unique about you. Now, while you do this, you need to know that what is it that stands you apart. So what value or what product aspect stands you apart, or what service aspect is unique to you which others can't have. So that becomes your differentiating aspects from the competition that you leverage. Construct a business positioning. Again, while you do this and you bring the outside in approach, what you are exactly doing is understanding the customer, their needs, their wants, what are the gaps in their mind where they see that the solutions are not available, and you occupy that space, you occupy that mind in the customer's brain, that creates a unique positioning and you will be able to hold on to it. So that's another reason. Determining the best message, again, what should be the best message? There are appeals of different nature, positive, negative, emotional, rational, appeal, or an informational appeal, or there is even opinion makers, etc., who make and come and strongly support the product, etc. Those are various aspects put together. Here what it means in USP. Now USP is also actually outdated, mentioned out here, emotional quotient. They say, what is the emotional differentiator? So many brands, aapke ghar mein kon rehta hai, kamar dard ya muh, so such an emotional connect. So even that one can figure out once you understand the consumer need and want. Word of mouth, referrals, that generation that you do, etc., are also the ways that you can reach out to many customers using your existing customer base. Okay. So there are different sources that existing customers will talk about you. People will ask them, friends and family ask among themselves, professional colleagues ask among themselves, hey, what are you doing? Have you used this company's product? So those are the influencers. They will promote why this particular brand is offering a value. So that way also it enables you. The target market, as I told you earlier, is very critical. What it helps you with, it helps you to identify and understand your target. This thing will facilitate, once you know them, you will be able to determine what is actually his likes, dislikes, the way they behave, what are the triggers or motivation to consider you or consider this kind of product, their perception about you, about this product category. My perception about, say, fast food overall as a category is not very healthy after knowing the various side effects of it. So then every other customer brand in that space will have to struggle to really influence me. Their preferences, their attitudes in life, etc., their knowledge about the brand and you, etc., all matters. Like, knowing them is therefore important. A sequence of, however, once you know them, you need to recognize that they don't generally jump to immediately buying. They go through what you call a hierarchy of effects model framework: attention, interest, desire, and action. So at what stage your customer or target audience is, that is one need to know. Promotional objectives that are appropriate, again, next aspect that you need to know while you are studying your customer is knowing your product life cycle. How will that, by understanding consumers, their changing preferences, by understanding what dynamic life that they live, etc., you are able to foresee your product life cycle. And then for each product life cycle stage, introduction, growth, maturity, decline, you can think in advance and prepare your communication accordingly. The second step is to induce trial. So you have to induce trial at any which ways. In hierarchy of effects model also, attention, interest, desire and action. So you have to induce the trial to get the customers to buy your product first time. They are either competitive customers or they are non-users of this category product or your product, etc. You have to induce them. So during the growth phase, important needs are to persuade the customers to buy your product and prefer you over the competition brand. So that is the inducement generation is possible once you understand what motivates them. So identifying your target customers, what we are trying to say is that different promotional approaches will be appropriate depending on the stage of the customer's decision process. So one is the product life cycle process. Customer also, their buying decision has a process. Okay, that the marketer needs to understand. Prior to the purchase, marketers want to establish a decision to purchase the product. So there are actually six steps, need generation, problem recognition to information search, availability of evaluation of alternatives, etc. Then selection and trial, purchase decision and post-purchase. Now, in the pre-phase, what you try to do is to induce like for the product, the category, then your brand will come in the consideration stage. So then say a selection and trial, etc. Or in this stage, you encourage as much of sampling, etc. So depending on what stage you feel most of your target audiences are, then you decide your plan of action. During the purchase stage, that's the second stage. This process are known as a pre-purchase, purchase and post-purchase. In the purchase stage, what that six steps I have told you of a consumer buying process, they are broadly classified as a pre-purchase, purchase and post-purchase. So in the purchase stage, when the customer is in the retail store, he is now decided whom to go for. So efforts may be needed to ensure that the customer will choose you only, even if he goes to the store and not getting attracted by other offers that has been thrown at you, where even salesman will try to induce him to change his preference, so that also happens. There are a lot of point of purchase, a lot of brand messages are there. Somebody will suddenly offer you spot discounts and attractive schemes. So do you change your brand? So there's a lot of effort needed during purchase stage. So you must be aware about your target customers, this kind of thing, aspects also. There are two main approaches to promoting product. You can promote your product in two ways. Now, when I'm talking about this, promote is actually hard selling. Now, that one can do is through a push strategy, which is closely related to the selling approach. Push is essentially a selling approach. I'm sure you all know the difference between selling and marketing. In the marketing, it believes in pull approach. Create a reason to have you. So that is, you convey that I offer solution to this need of yours, this problem of yours, and then customers will come to you. In contrast, this is that is what the push strategy versus pull strategy. The question is, in the pull strategy, the emphasis is to create demand for the brand so that the consumers will come to the store with the intention to buying only your product. Okay. Hallmark, for example, has invested in a great deal in creating a preference for these greeting cards among the consumers. So this is a brand when it comes to greeting cards, people vie for them. They know that they will get the kind of a message they are looking at in a card. So they obviously visit those branded store where Hallmark cards are available, etc. So that's the benefit of pull. Under same concept called identifying your target customers, few other points are the competitive or a persuasive ad attempts to convince the consumer either of the performance of the product and or how it is superior in some way to the other. Your consumer in the market, you're communicating, competition is communicating. Competition will also try to tell him how are they better than you. So now in that competitive advertisements are the prime example. So many competitors do many time a comparative advertisement. They show feature by feature that they are better off. Okay, they will try to run down your product. So for instance, not the ads that show the same language bags are more durable than the other. Some luggage bags. So they show you like this, they show you how this bag is better than other competition bags. They either show that bags are not folding well, or they cannot accommodate all the clothes, or their rollers get jammed, while here there is a multi-directional roller. So they try to do it in such a way that they try to downplay the others and create a preference for their brand. So that's also a way. Now, how do you defend against that? That's what your communication, this thing has to be looked at. You can do that well, provided you know what consumer wants. Now, all consumers, if you really know them well, you know that they will not be driven away by the comparison. They will be driven away by the value if you offer. So what is that value? Beyond product, what is it? And you understand that well. So you will probably not resort to such things. You will in fact further build your value. So reminder advertisements. So many times you have to keep doing advertisements. I am a kid, they become young, then now I am reaching retirement phase, etc. But advertisement from the Colgate and those brands are still there. They have to keep doing that because customer base is changing. Customers are going through different life stages of their life, etc. So this reminder ad towards your specific target customers helps you to sustain your positioning in their mind. So Coca-Cola ads tend to not to provide new information, but keep reinforcing how great they are. So they don't get into the flavor, they don't get into what zing things, etc. They make it a product look like a great in many other ways, which customers will want to see themselves as. So that's also another way to differentiate your product. So identification of a target customer or consumer from outside in communication perspective is therefore very crucial. We have been understanding that part. So this framework, if you understand your target customer, helps you. This framework is known as elaboration likelihood model. What this framework suggests that for a trivial product, for a product which really do not have strong utilitarian or a differentiating aspects, a popular endorser will help you somewhat to make the product relatively useful regardless of the endorser's qualifications. So therefore you see that many ads, the brand ambassadors of a different class come in, and then they recommend the product. Dhoni is doing an inverter advertisement, so you wonder. Amitabh is doing some steel bar advertisement, etc. Product important or expensive? So that's a question. Okay, now I am trying to connect to the triviality of the product. Yes, is endorser congruent with the product endorsed? So whether endorser whom you brought, the person who is telling people that I use it, so you also use it, is that endorser relatively gelling with it? Doctor recommending pharmaceutical product or a health product, one can understand. Okay. So what will happen? Then second question comes. And if that is yes, more likely to be effective. So if this is matching, your appeal, your communication will be more effective. Okay. Look at other way. Product important or expensive? No. Okay. So here there is a low elaborations are happening. No celebrity endorsements more likely to be effective. So when this is not the case, and you do celebrity endorsement, it may be appealing. As it moves forward, high elaboration, where endorser is congruent with the product or not, the answer is no. Okay, so in that, unlikely to be effective. So if the endorser is not aligned well with the product category of the class, it will not be effective. Okay, so this is what overall, how you bring in elaboration of your product using an endorser or using a product related value benefit, that's what this model highlights for you. So after understanding elaboration likelihood model, what I'm trying to tell you is overall the emphasis is still on identifying your target customers, and then how that outside in communication can be therefore suitable or effective way to communicate after you know your target customer well. Further to that, your product and services should reflect what your target market wants. So when you present to them, they should feel that, yeah, this is what they were looking at it, you know. So that when you what you want to sell, so that's what, instead when you present to them, it should look like, okay, here is a thing that you wanted, rather than, hey, please buy, you know, I have this product, you know, why don't you try, use it. So that's a selling approach. So you see, the both are different. Now how do you achieve this? How do you achieve this is to put yourself in the shoes of your customer. So as they say, like, think like a customer. So when you have a concept ready, when you have a test product ready, etc., even in the ideation stage, think like a customer. What if you are a customer? Look at your business like a customer. So broadly look at your entire business, the way of operation, from the customer viewpoint. Ask yourself if you are happy with every aspects of the buying experience. Are you? If you put yourself in the way your entire process or the way your entire execution is vis-a-vis the customers, will it create a happy buying experience for you? Then you will be critical of your way of operation. So that's what it tells you. Your customers must want your product or service. If they don't want it, and if they don't need it, or if you are not able to convey to them the need or the solution to what need that you are offering, you cannot sell it. So that's as simple as that. We enter another section called when communication matters. So in an outside-in environment, also one has to ask a question, when do you think the communication is important? Communication works to the extent that your product or service creates value. So if you have not created a value, whatever you may communicate, it will not. So that is otherwise obvious. Now, when you create a value, why you still need to communicate? What happens, what this point is trying to tell you, your value may not be obvious to the potential buyer. They will still not be able to figure out. So you have to put it in that manner that you are offering a reason for them to understand your value. So then they will realize, oh, this is what you are offering. The less experience a customer has in the market, either the customer is less experienced or more innovative your product is that you are offering, the benefit is also really unique that you are offering, and more separated the purchaser from the actual user. Again, that entire in a household dynamic, somebody is influenced, somebody is a decider, somebody is a buyer, somebody is the actual user. If that is also, there is a gap. Or more likely it is that the value of the product or the service differentiation will be unrecognized. In this scenario, value that you have created is not been understood. You are not able to create a differentiation due to that. So in that is a case when communication matters. So we will see that as a framework. So this framework, communicate the changes for enhancing value. Communicate the changes for enhancing the value. So it has four quadrants: reduce, create, raise, eliminate. Reduce what? The factor should be reduced well below the industry standard. Which factor should be reduced well below the industry standard? So there are certain aspects that may not be very acceptable by the customers, but industry has accepted it overall. So now what can you reduce it? So inconveniences due to that, or whatever other issues that the customer may be facing, can you reduce them? Create, which factor should be created that the industry has never offered? So now you have to see that while you try to work to reduce certain elements. So like earlier, the inconvenience of various purchases were there. Online has created a convenience. So that's how they've reduced that inconvenience part, the fear part. So that's what I'll say, fear. If I do not get a right product buying online, what will happen? That used to be a biggest fear. So then 14 days replacement. Now create value factor that created industry has never offered is the convenience, ease of selection, ease of evaluation, ease of payment, so much. So that is how you create value. Raise the bar. Which factor should be raised well above the industry standard? Industry is working at a particular level of standard. Can you raise the bar? Can you give something much above? and thereby disturb the industry in itself and eliminate, which was a factor that the industry take for granted, which you should eliminate. Everyone knows in the industry that this is not right, but they do not bother to attend to it. Now, can you do that? So, this is the way you create a value curve: reduce, create, raise, eliminate. So, next slide. Again, that defining your product from positioning to communication. So, we are trying to understand when communication matters. So, after understanding how the value is created, positioning wise, what difference? What is it defined by the product? So, first of all, what are you offering is a product. What it does, defined by the benefit. So, how will consumer benefit by using your product? What it means is defined by the effect. So, automatic toaster, the effect is time saving. The automatic toaster, the effect is you can do multiple work together. Why I should care, defined by the motivation. So, why I should care means I am doing this for you as a customer. That's the motivation that you are offering. This company is always innovative. They bring out unique product. They understand my difficulties. Housewife will start believing once upon a time Bajaj appliances were in that league. So, they continuously came out with various products related to the kitchen appliances that made them believe that they understand the difficulties of the housewife. So, that was a motivator. So, whenever that name used to come, that was a motivator in itself. Kuch toh naya hoga. So, that's what. So, to really see the next point, the communication matters, why, you know, that's what we are, when communication matters in outside in this thing, the expenditure effect. Some expenditures are just too small to justify serious thoughts or efforts to find the economically best deal, rather than simply to find a brand that meets the need. So, what it tries to tell you, many time certain expenditure which a consumer thinks that is that they are spending, and you try to communicate a benefit on that, may be futile. So, instead, try to create a value from the user perspective, usage perspective, benefit perspective, etc. In business market, they are purchased too small to justify a purchasing agent's time. In consumer market, they are called impulse purchases. So, what this tries to tell you, in business market, when purchases are too small, okay, it is wasteful to really get too much of a purchasing agent's time, which in the consumer market, it is known as an impulse purchase. You don't think much, you just buy it. So, that's an aspect that one need to understand. So, at that time, to create that kind of a feeling, one has to communicate. So, that's the time the communication matters. The shared cost effect, that's another reason when one can look at. Some expenditures involve spending other people's money in whole or in part. So, long as the travel expenses are within a business person's expense budget, for example, there is not much incentive to look for the best deal. So, it's a shared cost effect, means you are given certain allowances, certain privileges to the person. If that person operates within that limit, then there may not be overall your company's this thing is within that. It may not be really mattering. But if you are offering something great there, then communication matters. So, then you try to give the perspective how you help them to burden less on the cost, you know, how you can reduce the cost burden. The switching cost effect, some expenditures involve making a supplier specific investment before being able to gain maximum value. A business might have to train its employee on the use of particular software or a package. So, here when you work, say, with a software company who has developed the software, etc., now once you enter into a contract and they start working for you and they created a software, it may be very difficult for you to move away, because till the supplier teaches you every aspects of the software, its use, the bugs are fixed, etc., they will have to seek your help. So, that's also another this thing. But however, what we are trying to understand, even in such scenario, an appropriate time you have to find to communicate with the customer. So, customer should know what matters to be with you and why they should remain with you. Okay. The end benefit effect. Some expenditures are simply a small part of the total package of expenditure. are to achieve an end benefit. Consumers often pay little attention to the cost of accessories when buying a car, since the cost seems small in the context of the larger. So now, accessory advertiser, how can they, you know, communicate, etc. So one is to see that how you make that small looking gadget helping consumer way above they can visualize. So why will the Panasonic or why will the Bluepunkt or why will that, you know, sound system, JB, you know, that sound system guys talk so much about the quality, the bass, the treble, about that such a small player in the car. So they have to see that, you know, how they create that feeling. The price quality effect, some expenditures have more perceived value because they are expensive. One should, one would be hard pressed to argue that Rolls Royce with a price over 3 crores offers a value superior to that of a luxury car costing much less. So this is also a perceived aspects, you know. Ultimately, there will be many people who say, after all, you go from one point to the other, you know, so why pay so much, etc. So that's where, what is it that is you as a quality are offering that needed a communication. So then also you need to communicate. There are four potential goals of that strategy. So when you have to communicate in an outside in environment, one or all of which may be important to raise willingness to pay. Willingness to pay. We have started outside in. Outside in creates a value, has a strong emphasis on value. And when you create a value, you have to recover the value. So this and subsequent slides is going to give you an understanding about that. Importance to raise the willingness to pay for your product. So that's what we will look at. To help customer establish an appropriate reference value, appropriate point of reference through which they can judge the value, against which to measure your product, okay, against which they should measure your product. Unless there is a direct substitute for your product with a price that establishes the reference. So, if there are similar products, forget the substitute part, if there are similar products, somewhere you have to create a reference value which customer should match others with, and then they should know that how are you different. So that's what first thing, to help customers recognize your differentiation on attributes that are not readily observable unless yours is an established brand which the market have learn from experience. So, when you introduce a new product, so forget that, you know, you being old in the market, when you introduce a new product, you have created something on which you want to differentiate, but unless you do not contribute and communicate with the customers to tell them how it contributes in their functioning, in their life or makes a difference to their life, etc., they will feel or they will miss out on that. So, to avoid that, you need to communicate. So, that's what we are trying to say is what will create a willingness to pay. So, this if you communicate, the willingness to pay will come. To make salient potential customers of your differentiation, to make salient potential benefits of your differentiation. So, there are certain things which are inherent or you have created, but they are very, very trivial, may look trivial, but they contribute greatly. In such case, also, you have to translate the total value that you have created, which offers him complete value. That establishment is only possible by communicating. So, and then only customer will pay for it. To justify that the share of value captured in your price is fair, assuming that you are in the type of market environment where fairness issues arise. So, also many time to communicate to the customer that you are fair pricing company, you are not exploitative in nature, etc. So, that's also to create that feeling of fairness to all customers, communication needs to be done. So, that's another fourth point. So, we said we will understand the four various points to enable company to create a willingness to pay for whatever product and the service cost price that you are going to charge to customer. Thank you.